Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Jones III, our speaker will be Lieutenant Commander Travis Mosier, Naval Reserve Chaplain and Church Planter from Santa Barbara, California. The title of his message is Veterans Day, What Life is Like for a Chaplain in Iraq.
Our chapel speaker today, in honor of Veterans Day, is Navy Chaplain Lieutenant Commander Travis Mosier from California, church planter from California in the Navy Reserves. He was a chaplain for a Marine infantry unit that took part in the invasion of Iraq and the liberation of Baghdad. First got to know Commander Mosier when he was a visitor here on the campus about 4 years ago. A number of the faculty have come to know him as well, and we appreciate him greatly. He's not a graduate of this institution. He's a soldier of the cross as well as a soldier in the U.S. military. He is still in the Navy Reserves, and as I said, he's a church planter in California. He will soon become a teacher of history. He is completing his doctorate in history, doing his dissertation in Reformation history, and his degree will come from the University of California. I asked him about a year ago if he would come and take part in this special day, and I believe that God's going to use him in a great way. We're honored to have him. He is a military hero, as all men and women are, who put their life in harm's way for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And in appreciation for the service that he has rendered to his country in Iraq, I wish you would give him a nice round of thanks by your applause as he comes to preach for us today.
Years ago, a British soldier once wrote a bitter verse on a sentry box. God and the soldier all men adore in times of trouble, but no more. For when war is ended and all things righted, God is neglected, the old soldier slighted. This is why we have Veterans Day, to make sure that never happens in America. This day is no longer called Armistice Day, but it began as a memorial of the armistice which ended World War I at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. That armistice ended one of the bloodiest wars in the history of the world. Our nation now finds herself in another foreign conflict. Even now, our soldiers in Iraq are defending our freedom and promoting the cause of justice for the thankful and the thankless alike. Many have paid the ultimate price fighting for our country. General George S. Patton said, "I do not mourn our fallen dead, but rather thank God that such men lived." Today, a grateful nation opens her heart. All of us, every man and woman in this country, owe a debt of gratitude to the 28 million veterans still living and the many who have passed on. More than a million made the ultimate sacrifice. They died in service, most of them young. In the words of one soldier poet, they tasted death in their youth, so that liberty might grow old. It is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. It is the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to assemble. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It is the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. Now more than ever, we need Christians serving in our military. The profession of arms is an honorable vocation with a godly heritage. We need godly warriors and we need godly chaplains to minister in the military. Now I want to explain my uniform. I'm a Navy chaplain, but I served in Iraq with the Frontline Ground Combat Marine Corps Battalion, 2nd Battalion, 23rd Marines. The Marines get all of their chaplains from the Navy. You may not be aware that the Marine Corps is actually part of the Navy. Some of my Marine friends like to joke and say, Yes, the Marine Corps is part of the Department of the Navy. It's the men's department. Anyway, the Marine Corps does not have any non-combatant personnel. Every Marine is a rifleman, as they say. The doctors, corpsmen is the term the Navy uses for the medics. The chaplains and chaplain assistants are provided to the Marines by the Navy. Although I served in an infantry battalion as a chaplain, I did not carry a weapon. Some of my Marines said I was the bravest person out there to be over there without a weapon. But my job was not to shoot or to kill. My job was to provide for the spiritual and emotional needs of the 1,000 Marines and sailors in my battalion and to keep myself from getting killed. I'm thankful to report I did accomplish the latter at least. God and my Marines will have to judge whether or not I did a good job with the former. I want to give you a taste of what life was like for me in Iraq, and instead of telling you or preaching to you, I want to read to you selections, a few entries from the diary I kept when I was overseas last year. This is my diary that I'm going to be reading to you from. February 22nd, 2003, first morning in Kuwait. Arrived at 2300 last night. Camp Coyote, where we are staying, is little more than rows of tents in the middle of a barren desert. It's pretty primitive, but we're told it will be improved in the next few days and weeks. Lord, help me to stay in fellowship with you today. Make me aware of your presence. Allow me to look after the needs of others and be sensitive to divine appointments. February 25th. It was very cold last night, but it was a beautiful morning when I got up. Didn't last long. Around 0730, a dust storm began, very low visibility. Everyone is sitting inside dark tents waiting for the storm to pass. I'm going to read my Bible by flashlight, but not for too long in order to conserve batteries. February 27th, what a wonderful, encouraging Bible study tonight. Over 20 in attendance. Born-again Christians are making themselves known. Some awesome testimonies. March 2nd. I was very sick yesterday. I had to get a shot for nausea at the battalion aid station. Today was much better. Had a combined worship service with the regiment, approximately 300 in attendance. Marines in full battle gear squeezed into the tent. Even though the tent was large, it was standing room only. I preached a sermon entitled Doing Things God's Way from 2 Kings chapter 5. At the end, I gave the shortest, most matter-of-fact altar call. I said, anyone who wants to learn how to be saved, stand up right now and meet me outside the tent. 28 Marines and sailors trusted Christ as Savior, including six from my own battalion. March 19th. Earlier today, my XO, my executive officer, asked me what it means to take Jesus as your Savior. I explained the gospel to him. He said he believes it, so I led him in a prayer. I hope he is sincere. Lord, thank you for drawing my XO to yourself. May he truly understand, repent, and believe. March 20th. I woke this morning after a partial night's sleep, tuned the radio to the BBC, and heard that the air war started an hour or so earlier. Today we were in and out of our gas masks and full chemical suits all day. Frantic shouts of gas, 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 and hit the deck, take cover. Much confusion and anxiety as the enemy sends Scud missiles in our direction. We dug deep fighting holes just in time to leave them. No Scuds have come within miles and miles of us. Gathered the troops together after dark and read Psalm 91 to them. Many seemed to appreciate it, especially verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. March 22nd, we left for our dispersal area in Kuwait after dark 2 days ago. We've been driving and sitting in our vehicles ever since. We made very slow progress toward the Iraqi border. The day before that, we were told we had no more water. Our logistics officer forgot to order a water resupply for our battalion. What an idiot. How are you supposed to cross the desert and fight a war without water? I have only the water in one canteen left. Yesterday, we came through the breach and headed very slowly into Iraq, no sight of the enemy. Driving at night is dangerous. Visibility was often less than 10 feet. Almost crashed several times. Much confusion, not enough sleep. March 24th, a very cold night last night. Yesterday we got on the highway to An-Nasiriyah but stopped before we got to the city. An Iraqi major willingly surrendered to our battalion. He's the first enemy we've seen since the war began. Later we learned the reason we stopped. Regimental Combat Team 2 was involved in some heavy fighting in Anasaria after securing two bridges. Apparently, a well-armed group of paramilitary religious fanatics attacked a logistics convoy. There were 10 KIAs and many more wounded. Some soldiers were taken prisoner, including a 19-year-old female. The Marines seemed more sober, realizing we're getting closer to combat. Just now, a Marine named Cortez came up to me to ask how he could have a right relationship with God. I shared the gospel with him, and he gladly accepted God's gift of eternal life. Lord, I now see why you want me out here. Thank you for using me to lead someone to you. March 25th, it's hard to describe the last 24 hours in words. Just after dawn, our convoy heavily escorted crossed the Euphrates River and came through Anasaria. The city was hot, with artillery, small arms, and machine gun fire. We could see the enemy's tracer rounds coming at us from both sides of the street. Cobra helicopter gunships prowled just above the rooftops, firing Hellfire missiles into enemy positions. It was an awesome sight. Marines were everywhere, some exposed in the middle of the street. There was a thick smell of burning metal as we passed by one of our armored vehicles that had been blown to bits. In all of the confusion, the first sergeant in my vehicle began shooting at an unarmed Iraqi man who was crossing the street about two blocks away. Apparently, he thought he was a bad guy because, one, he was wearing black, and two, a machine gunner on a tank was also shooting at him. When the first sergeant started shooting, the hot brass ejected from his rifle, hitting my driver in the back of the neck. The driver howled, thinking he had been shot, pulled down his 9mm and began firing out of his window. I thought all of this unnecessary and dangerous. There were Marines all around us they could have hit, and we in the convoy were supposed to be weapons tight. Although I didn't record it in my diary, soon after that I had the driver and first sergeant removed from my vehicle and assigned to another. Once we made it through the city, we began to move up Route 7, smoldering vehicles and lots of bodies everywhere, some in uniform, most not. March 26th, our first attack. An artillery unit just ahead of us was ambushed, and our battalion was called in to rescue them. Two of our companies counterattacked the enemy, killing many of them. Even from where we were, I could see the muzzle flashes from a tree line 300 meters away, but the enemy's rounds were falling short. Still, I stayed down behind my Humvee, monitoring the radio as the battle unfolded just ahead of us. While things were still hot, Sergeant Cortez came up to me beaming. He's the Marine who was saved 2 days ago. He told me he knew the Lord was with him and he wasn't scared, even when we were in Anasaria. A corpsman from Echo Company named Cruz caught some shrapnel in his backside. Major Doherty was shot through the arm. No one was killed. Captured 70 Iraqi fighters. Thank you, God, for changing lives and seeing us safely through our first combat. This morning, a sniper opened up on us while we were driving past another town. Out of the dark, we suddenly saw tracers all around the vehicle I was riding in. It was really nerve-wracking. Our 50 caliber machine gun shot back, but jammed. The whole thing was over in less than a minute. We reached a medevac site where we found dozens of casualties, including a couple of Republican Guard officers and some Iraqi women and children who were caught in the crossfire, and several of our injured Marines. I helped with the civilians and then helped load the Marines onto the medevac helos when they arrived. The whole scene reminded me of something out of Vietnam. The field where the CH-46s landed was green with winter rye and looked like a rice paddy. Several of the Marines voluntarily gave up their spots so the civilians could be medevaced ahead of them. March 29th, Staff Sergeant Jim Colley was killed this morning while some Marines were rescuing. While some of our Marines were rescuing our scout sniper team from hostile fire near Al-Fajir. Staff Sergeant Colley was a Mormon from Utah. I was so upset when I heard the news. I had spent 30 to 45 minutes talking with him yesterday and never asked him about his relationship with the Lord. April 3rd. Yesterday conducted a memorial service for Staff Sergeant Colley, just a quarter of a mile from where he was killed. Heard on the radio that the 19-year-old soldier POW was rescued in Anasaria. April 5th. My chaplain assistant that I was promised before the war finally arrived. He's going to need a lot of practice to master the art of driving at night without headlights, judging from last night's performance. April 6th, made good progress toward Baghdad yesterday. Passed a lot of destroyed Iraqi armor and artillery. I am happy to say many friendly Iraqis smiling and waving as we pass by. Woke up with a head cold and threw up a couple of times, probably because of the anti-malarial pills we have to take every day. Read John 15 this morning. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. April 7th, it's been very hot over the past 3 or 4 days. This morning we were allowed to get out of our chemical suits for the first time since the war began on March 19th and put on desert camis. I'm still sick, either a bad head cold or allergies, not sure which. We're currently 12 miles southeast of Baghdad. Two enemy mortar rounds landed in our position last night, but no one was injured. We've been on limited rations since the war began, only one MRE a day, and limited water at times. We may not get another resupply of food until after we enter Baghdad. April 8th. Crossed a bridge and entered the outskirts of Baghdad this morning. Signs of destruction all around, but the civilians are calm, smiling and waving to us. Black smoke billows from an oil fire about 500 meters away. The flies are thick and my allergies are bad. I'm thankful God has kept us safe. April the 9th. Fox Company was in a firefight yesterday, which lasted several hours. 8 Marines were medevaced. Corporal Vidania, the CO's radio operator, was shot in the head. He was wearing his helmet cocked to the side so he could talk on the radio when a bullet hit him just behind the ear. At first, it was called in as a KIA, but somehow he survived. We in the logistics train spent the night outside an abandoned police academy. Took some incoming mortar rounds just as we were digging in. Some said there were 6, but I counted only 3. We've moved forward a bit and are now in a Republican Guard headquarters compound. The news on the radio makes it sound like the war is virtually over, yet I can hear small arms fire nearby and sporadic tank and mortar fire. Maybe just a few more days. April the 10th, we moved into the Baghdad UN complex in the late afternoon. We found bottled water, rations, and a lot of other things. We're not allowed to loot, but we are allowed to get food, water, and other consumables. We parked in a fenced compound next to a wooded field. At dusk, a machine gun opened up on us. I could see red tracers going over our vehicles. Our 50 cal responded, as did our 40 millimeter Mark 19, which started a brush fire. Staff Sergeant Ryan White, the company gunny, was shot in the foot and had to be medevaced. Today, some insist there was an enemy vehicle in the field. Others insist it was friendly fire from another one of our units. I don't know which it was. If it was friendly fire, it didn't seem very friendly. April 12th, my allergies are acting up and my morale is down. Mail has been a blessing, as was my 10-minute phone call home the other night. It's good to hear my family as well and that we have a lot of support back home. Lord, help me not to give in to negative thinking and self-pity. Help me rejoice in you, regardless of the circumstances. April 14th, yesterday was Palm Sunday. We had a tragedy. Sergeant Lawson shot himself in the stomach in a suicide attempt. All of the reasons are not clear, but from reading his journal, I would say he was suffering from paranoia. Before we put him on the medevac helicopter, he kept crying out pitifully, "Chaplain, pray for my soul, pray for my soul." Traveled to Echo Company's position today, had to drive through a good part of the city of Baghdad. Everywhere Iraqis line the streets to wave and cheer. That's the response we've gotten from the locals everywhere. I wish the liberal war protesters could see how well we're received by the Iraqi people. April 16th, had my first shower in over a month. It felt glorious. They set up decontamination showers and we had to shower 7 at a time out in the open. No one cared. The water was hot and it felt so good. April 20th, Easter Sunday, began with a sunrise service at Headquarters Company, followed by 2 services at Echo Company. We have to be all packed up tonight because we're going to begin our trip south at 0130. Looking forward to going home soon. April 28th, Adi Waniya, Iraq. 107 degrees today. Boy, was it hot. Yesterday was Sunday. Held worship. 56 showed up. 3 Navy corpsmen trusted Christ as Savior, and 1 Marine rededicated his life to Christ. I was encouraged today by a personal letter I received from Dr. Bob Jones III. Thank you for that letter, by the way. Appreciate that. Skipping ahead a month, May 29th, Kuwait. Going home day. I cannot thank God enough for bringing us safely to this point. May 30th. It has been a very long flight, but now we're only 30 miles from our arrival at March Air Force Base in California. I just offered the following prayer over the airplane's intercom. Lord, from Kuwait's freezing winter nights to her scorching summer days, you were with us. Through weary, sleepless nights and restless, hungry days, you watched over us. From the nightmare of Nasiriya to the doldrums of Diwania, you protected us. When Staff Sergeant Jim Colley was killed and other Marines and sailors injured, you comforted us. And now, by your grace, we are at long last going home to our family and friends. Thank you, God, for all of these blessings. Because of your presence in our lives, we did not have to cross the ocean alone. Amen. For those of you who are praying for our troops overseas, I want to tell you how important your prayers are. It meant the world to me to know there were Christians here praying for me while I was over there. And if you are one of them, I want to say to you from the bottom of my heart, thank you and God bless you.
We've had the wonderful opportunity today of hearing from a noble soldier the reality of war. Those of us who are here in the security of this place, within the protected boundaries of this nation, take so much for granted, do we not? I'll speak for myself. I do. We read the headlines in the paper of what happens daily in Iraq, of the recent assault on Fallujah, the terrorist stronghold there. And we read of casualties and deaths, and unless we know somebody who was one of them, it seems surreal to us, almost inconsequential to us. But we are the beneficiaries of everything Commander Mosier and all of his brave unit did for us, and of so many others who are still there. The world is a freer place because of their presence in that conflict. Terrorism has received some, at least temporary, setback. We have no choice but to be there. There are many who do not appreciate our presence there, but I don't think there are many like that in this room. We must not forget to pray for the men and women there. Some of them were your classmates a year ago. Some of them were and are faculty members and staff members of this institution who've been called over there. And it may be that if the Lord tarries and things continue as they are, and we believe they will, because the Bible says in the end time there will be a multiplication of wars and rumors of wars, many of you sitting right here will be keeping your own diaries of the horrors of war that you are experiencing. And some of you may be required to give your life in sacrifice for the freedoms of others who perhaps don't even care that you did. But may we never be calloused and never forget how much we owe to these men and women, not only in the present conflict, but in all of those that preceded and in those that will follow. We owe them much. We enjoy the liberties they died to give us. And I pray that at least for one day we may not be unmindful and unheedful. It is right that we should stop today and give thanks to God for them and for the freedoms that we enjoy. And at least for one day, let us not take them for granted. I'm wondering if I could ask all of you who have served or are serving now as reservists in the armed forces, would you please stand and remain standing for just a moment all over this room? Thank you very much. several in uniform, most of them in the balcony, the back of the building. You could not see most of them, but thank you for your warm response to what they have done and are doing, because many are now still in the reserves and may indeed be in armed conflict very soon. I think that we should close the service today by standing in a moment and saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States. Will you please join me in doing that? The flag is here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Shall we pray together? Dear Heavenly Father, we would remember those at this moment who may be in great danger in Iraq and other places, outposts scattered around the world that do not receive so much attention as Iraq, nonetheless strategic to our national interests and to world freedom. I pray, dear God, for the men and women who know you in these places, that they would be unashamed of you, that the light of the testimony of their saving knowledge of Jesus Christ would burn brightly, and that the love of Christ would be spoken of fondly and frequently from their lips, and that the gospel seed should be scattered everywhere they go. Lord, we think of how you overrule in the affairs of men, how you allow the wrath of men to praise you. We think of those even in Muslim countries today who hold copies of the Bible in their hand that were given to them by military people who also gave them a witness of the Christ of the Word. And so, Lord, let your Word go forth. Let it flourish. Let it find lodging in many hearts. Let many in these countries come to know Christ as a result of the military incursions that are taking place around the world. Thank you, Lord, that you're the sovereign God of the nations and that you overrule in the affairs of men and that there is nothing too hard for thee. We thank thee for thy protection upon so many of our friends and loved ones who have recently returned from Iraq in safety, returned to the love and security of their homes and their families. Dear Lord God, I pray that you would awaken us to understanding. Awaken us to duty. Awaken us to a new love of Christ. Lord, let the gospel message burn brightly in our hearts, because everywhere around us there are souls in danger. Maybe not in danger of bullets, but in danger of hellfire.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Lieutenant Commander Travis Mosier, Naval Reserve Chaplain and Church Planter from Santa Barbara, California. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.